Scott referred to it as the lesson of the hour. I take offense of that. I think he's suggesting that it's going to be an hour long. It's not. It's going to be 55 minutes at the most, so I don't think you need to go that far. It's good to have everybody with us this morning, visitors who have come to be with us, and we at the Brooksville Church here are trying to do the best we can and following the will of God. We hope that you will open your Bibles or follow along in the notes that we provide, and as we talk about the Word of God and how important it is for our lives. We're going to be going to the Old Testament this morning, to the book of Ezekiel on chapter 37, and an unusual story. We'll read it to begin with, and then make some, hopefully, lessons and comments about it. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and to bring you from the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you. You shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Tonight, Brother Rick Carlton is going to be presenting our thoughts. I wanted to mention that before we begin the lesson this morning, and appreciate always the men as they have opportunity to come and to speak to us. And it's probably a good thing because I've been battling a cold this week, and my voice is kind of going. I had a little tickle a moment ago, so if I have to stop and drink a little bit of water, I may have to do that. But what an unusual story. Wow, you got a valley that is just full of all these bones that are there. And God brings Ezekiel into this place. I mean, what a terrible scene to see all this death and bodies laying around, decayed all the way to the dry bones. Ezekiel is one of the prophets that prophesied during the captivity. He was by the river Kabar. In Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar had already come and taken the Jews away. Jerusalem is burned, lay in ruins, and the northern tribes had long ago been taken away by the Assyrians. And they were going to be there for 70 years. A very desolate, very, very difficult time for Israel because they were captives. They were slaves now for the first time. They had been taken away from their homes. And what God is doing through these prophets, particularly Ezekiel, as he is there with them in captivity, is trying to explain why they're there, as if they didn't know, since the earlier prophets already told them that. But one of the things that Ezekiel is trying to do with the people is to tell them not to give up hope, that while they were going to probably die in captivity, their descendants were going to be released. And that this is a message of hope for the children of Israel, that God would bring his people back to the glory of Jerusalem. But this image is quite graphic. We don't know the reason why all of these bones. It could easily have been a great war. It was not unusual for battles to be fought back then, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people die, and you know, they just sort of left there in the ground. You don't go bury them. You just sort of walk away and leave them there. So whatever the occurrence is, we don't know. But to stand there and look at a valley that is filled with dry bones, realizing that this used to be human beings, this used to be people, this used to be men of war that were going to a great battle. And then a great question that God asked Ezekiel in verse 3, can these bones live? Well, I mean, obviously the question is, well, no. I mean, when you've got dry bones, that is the impossibility of the possibility that it's not even possible that they're going to have any. I mean, you got dry bones. What do you do with dry bones? Nothing. There's no life in them. But God asked him, can these bones live? And well, the answer that Ezekiel gives is really the right answer, of course, when he says, well, Lord God, you know. I think he's sort of hedging himself a little bit there. He's not sure exactly. You know, you get one of those questions from God and you're not sure exactly how you're supposed, you know, how you're supposed to answer that. Well, I don't want to say the wrong thing. But, I mean, his answer is correct because this is an impossible thing. Ezekiel doesn't really know what this is all about. But then God tells him, well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy to these bones. I thought that was kind of interesting. Is that you want me to do what? I want you to prophesy to these bones, and I'm going to bring these bones to life. And that's exactly what happened. He prophesies to them. He does exactly what God said to do. And God says, I'll put sinews on them. I'll bring flesh upon them. And so he did that in verse 7. And it just didn't happen immediately. There was this noise and you know, the rattling, you know, and the bones are kind of coming. Wouldn't that have been a sight to see? You're standing there in the valley, and let's just say, you know, there's 60,000 people. I don't know how many there were. So, you know, that's what, 60,000 people, 120,000 leg bones, 120,000 elbows. I mean, you know, and all of a sudden, they start coming up and they start making all this noise, and all of a sudden these skeletons kind of come into shape and they form, and there's just this noise, and then all of a sudden, not only do the bones get connected, you know, to the head bone connect, no, we won't do that. The bones get connected, and then all of a sudden the muscle parts and all of the body kind of comes, the flesh sort of begins to cover over them. I mean, you know, it'd be a little frightful, to be honest, a little disgusting, but you know, it'd be a frightful to see all of the skin all of a sudden appear, and then all of a sudden there's this face, and then there's hair, and probably some of them didn't have hair, but you know, and all this, and then all of a sudden, you know, there you got these bodies. They're not bones, there's these bodies that are out there. And God says, well, prophesy to the breath. Got to put life into them. And so he did. And so again, Ezekiel prophesies, and all of a sudden now you've got this valley filled with an exceeding great army that just a little while ago was dry bones. That had to be something, you know. I think sometimes when you read these prophecies, you're thinking, okay, he never forgot that in his life. You know, if you want to talk about some things that happened in my life, you ought to have been in the valley of dry bones and all these people came together. But what a great and a powerful miracle. And the meaning is, as he goes on in verse 11 through 14, he explains, what this represents is that the dry bones is Israel, and they feel like there's no hope and that there's no glory anymore and that everything has just sort of come to desolation. But God is going to bring them out of their captivity. He's going to return them to Jerusalem, and there's going to be this remnant that's going to be portrayed. And he's wanting them really to understand, as with this powerful miracle, that the only way this would have happened is by the power of God. This was not possible for man to do. I mean, if man walks into a valley and there's a valley of dry bones, that's all you're going to get. But God, through his power, resurrected and created this, and he is the one that made all this possible. And what he's trying to tell the children of Israel is, verse 13, I want you to know that I am the Lord. I want you to know that I can do anything. I want you to know that the reason you're here is because of me, and the reason you're going to get out of here is because of me, but I want you to know that I'm the Lord, and I can do anything, and I have just shown you that I've done anything. And he reminds them that this was all by the power of God alone. And what a great story. And it is to at least try to instill some hope into the children of Israel, give them something to live for, and realize that there will come a day that they will be coming home. And so there's a lesson, obviously, that is there. But I want to consider the story on a different level. What does this do for you and me? What does this do beside being a fanciful story that, I mean, it's a real story. It really happened, of course. But, you know, we talk about this valley of dry bones. And if God can take dry bones in the valley and create a living army, what can he do for me and you? If he can do that out of, not bones, notice, it's not just bones. I guess there's a difference between bones and dry bones, but we're talking about dry bones. If God can make an army out of dry bones, what can he do for me? Well, the first question is, does God have the power to change my life? That's what he asked. That's what God asked Ezekiel. Can these dry bones live? I mean, there's a need to survey the situation and see the need that is there. The valley is full of dry bones. And what Ezekiel saw was a valley of impossibilities. He looked and said, you know, obviously the answer would be, well, you know, you look at the dry bones and think, well, this is kind of an easy question because it is an impossibility. But God says, is there an avenue of hope in what seems to be impossible? You see, God does some pretty wonderful things, but then he does these spectacular things to show that there is a possibility in the impossibilities. And what he does is that he looks at these dry bones and says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And sometimes we look in our own life and there are things in our life that we may think that are like that. And we may realize that what God is trying to tell us is that when we examine our lives, we may realize that there are some impossibilities that we're having to face or things that are coming up in our lives that we just don't think there is no hope. There are no answers. It's just not going to be something that's going to be easily dealt with. Our lives could be spiraling out of control and we don't see any end in sight. We don't know what's going to happen because things just seem to be going against us. The job that we have may have an impossible burden to it, and we're uncertain about all of those things. And our marriage could be in a wash machine of trouble with no joy that's left. And there's no love and there's no compassion that is there. There's no passion. There's not the kind of happiness that God wants us to have. And I look at my spiritual life and it's like dry bones. It's just empty. I don't have any love. I don't have any connect there. There's just not a spiritual relationship that I can have there. We face anger and depression and fear and uncertainty and an overwhelming feeling of hopelessness. And I'm not talking about Tuesday. I'm just talking about life in general. Well, it's the week. You got to say something. Materialism may have us so far in debt that we just don't ever think we'll see the light of day. Or the passions of the flesh are pressing down hard upon our lives. Or maybe our relationships are in a topsy-turvy world of confusion. I mean, we can relate to a valley of dry bones because sometimes we may look at our life and just think, well, yeah, I get that. Because there's things that are going on in my life that just seem impossible. And for all practical purposes, you might as well just call them dry bones because this is not something that has any answers to it. This is going on. That's going on. All of this is overwhelming us and we're burdened with all of these kinds of things. What is God trying to tell us in the valley of dry bones? Well, we go to the question. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Oh Lord God, you know. And that's always a good answer to give, by the way, if you ever ask those hard questions. In the face of a valley of dry bones, The faith of the prophet believes the will of God can make anything happen. He doesn't have any idea how that's going to happen. I mean, imagine you're standing there in the valley of dry bones. And God says, can these bones live? And you're saying, well, yeah, I have no idea how that's going to happen. I mean, I'm not sure that he actually thought, well, I know what God's going to do here. Whether he understands how it is going to be done is a different matter. And the thing that's interesting about Ezekiel's answer is, what basis did he have upon that? Well, I think it's a history of faith. He didn't understand how this was going to happen, but he knew that whatever God could do, he could do. And he believed, and this is one of those stories He believed in the impossibility. That's tough. You see, it's easy to believe in the possibilities. We believe in things that are possible because they're possible. Thought that was deep, right? We believe in things that are easy to see. It's when those impossibilities come, we're thinking, can't do that. And we look at our lives and we think, well, that's just not going to happen because there's just really not any answer. And the answer that Ezekiel gives is the right answer because how the Lord will give life to dry bones is beyond his knowledge, but he knows that with God, nothing is impossible. And I mean, nothing is impossible. Remember when God came to Abram and Sarah, said, you're going to have a child? Okay. Remember when he came to Zechariah and Elizabeth, you're going to have a child? Remember when he came to Joseph and Mary and said, you're going to have a son? They believed in the impossibility because they believed in the power of God. Whether they understood how that was going to happen or not was not the point. They believed in the power of God. And whatever valley of dry bones that we're facing, we have to believe that with God's power, nothing is impossible. Now, that doesn't suggest that we know how that's going to happen. You know what's wrong with providence? Providence is only understood by hindsight. We're not like the prophets who may be able to look at it. We only understand the working of God in our life as it has happened. But we're not asking the Lord for a blueprint of what would be done. We're just saying, I believe you can do that. Our faith is sufficient enough to say that whatever it takes to make these dry bones live, God will do that. If our lives are spiraling out of control, God can fix that. God can give life to that. If our life is filled with the burdens of our job and our work and things that just sort of seem to be out of completely, God can fix that. He can bring life to that. If our marriages are on a difficult plateau, if we're having challenges in our marriages, there is nothing that God cannot do. If he can take dry bones and make a living army out of them, how hard is it going to be for him to empower us in our marriages to be what we need to be? Even our spiritual life may reveal a life of emptiness. God can fix that. Why? Because he can do anything. If we allow him to do that, if we believe like Ezekiel, and when we have challenges in our life and facing life with anger and all these emotions that are there and the challenges that we have about this issue and that issue and the things that overwhelm us and the things that make the night so difficult and all the burdens that come upon us, what God is saying is, I can fix that because I can take a valley of dry bones and make it live. Standing there as human beings. Materialism, God can fix that. The passions of the flesh, God can fix that. Relationships, God can fix that. Because third is to see that the power of the Lord God Creator. He made living, breathing human beings out of thousands of dry bones. It took a process, but life was finally given. And it's important to note, even in our text, that the Lord worked through the Word and brought life there. I think there's a lesson there that God could have just said, okay, Ezekiel, watch this, poof, and there they were. No, he said to Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to these bones. And then I want you to prophesy to the breath. All of that was by the Word of God. The power of the Word of God is what changed it. And Ezekiel's belief in the power of God. He was commanded by God to do certain things, and he did. He was obedient to the will of God. May sound a little strange. You want me to talk to these bones? You want me to talk to these bones? Okay. I'm going to talk to these bones. But he did. And all of a sudden they came together. And they prophesied to the breath. You see, hearing is a part of this. Believing and obeying are the elements of a life to a valley full of dry bones. That's what brought life to these dry bones. Three parts of the story. The Lord asked a question of impossibility to see the faith of the prophet. The prophet believes in the possibilities of the Lord to accomplish anything he desires, and acting upon the word of the Lord, the prophet brings life to dry bones. So what's that going to do for you and me? Well, we could easily just say, well, here's the answer. You got a problem, God can fix it. You got troubles in life, God can do that. Because everything that he has given us and all that he has made us to be is according to the glory that we are to be giving unto him. Because what we are here for is to give him glory. Because he is here to give us his glory. You think your life may be spiraling out of control? Things just don't seem to be going right, and you don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. Do we not have the answer of Jesus who said in John 14 and verse 6 that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life? You know, the emphasis of that is not just the fact that you can't come to the Father but by him. But if you're looking for a way to live, he's it. I'm the way. I am the answer to how you can live and find purpose in your life. If you want to know what truth is, if you want to know what's right and wrong, I'm it. The Lord says if you want to have a life that is one of quality, I am the answer to that. So often people try to find answers to their lives in a lot of different things, whether it's in drugs or alcohol or sexual pleasures or the wisdom of men or whatever it is. All of these are dry bones. History is littered with those who have attempted to find the answer to life. They've even gone to the guy on the top of the mountain. You don't have to go to the top of the mountain. You just have to go to the Word of God. He's given us the answer to life. Because if you want to know which way to go, if you want to know what's right and wrong, if you want to know what life is all about, Jesus said, I'm it. And that's what we need to realize is that we need to get a lot and have a personal relationship with the Lord in our lives that will help us bring into control and bring into perspective the kind of life that we have. And it may be that as we talk about the things that overwhelm us in our lives, and even the simple things, well, it's not really that simple, but, you know, things that just we go through every day, our jobs and things like that. We need to remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 is the fact that who I am and what I am is given for the power of God. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Salt and light, like them both. I like them together. I like to have a lit room with food with salt on it. I like salt. Probably going to get in trouble with that one day. But I like to put salt on things. Why? Because it really tastes good. That steaming baked potato. That sizzling little steak over there. Are you getting hungry? I am too, you know. It's only 11:55. Well, no, it's 12:55. You know, it feels like 12:55. Salt is good. That's what God will do for my life, is that he will influence me and I will be salt, even in the workplace, even wherever I am, because I will have an influence of people. And light, I can let my light shine in the world, because God said it's not impossible. You can be my beacon. I can give to the glory of God everywhere that I am, because I am salt and I am the light. You think your marriage is in a trouble? You know, it's interesting how that we forget that he who made us told us how we should find happiness. You know, we use the phrase, well, they're happily married, and those chuckles. Well, well, that's what God made man for, and woman is so they can be happy. We're supposed to be happy. That may be a revelation to a lot of people in the world, but you're supposed to be married and happy. Those two are supposed to go together. Why? Well, we follow God's will. Well, it's an impossibility. Well, no, let's see what God's formula, among other things. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let their wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives, their own wives, as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, as it goes on to say, with many other passages. You see, sometimes we look at our marriages and it's like a valley of dry bones. Let God work in you. Be the kind of wife that God wants you to be. Be the kind of husband that God wants you to be, commands us to be. You see how the Word of God infuses life into every part of our life? We're concerned about our spirituality and how that we're just not sure whether we're really the kind of people that we ought to be. Remember what the Lord told us in Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We are not condemned because we are the chosen people of God. We are the elect. We do not walk according to the flesh, but rather we walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and of death. You see, when we look at our spiritual life, we just need to get into Jesus. We need to understand what the will of God is. We need to get into His book. Faith comes of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The reason so often that my spiritual life is lacking, quite frankly, is because we don't spend enough time in this. And that's, it is so simple. This is not deep theology. If you want to know more about God, here it is. If you want to know more about Jesus, here it is. If you want to be spiritually minded, as we all need to be, which means we just have a mind that is spirit guided. If you want to know what is right and what is wrong and what God wants us to do, we've got to spend time in the book. We've got to let this message fill our lives. That's where we get the answers of the life that's coming. The sinews of the flesh and the breath of life comes from this book in our spiritual life. We've got a lot of challenges in life with anger and depression and fear and all those things. Well, we just need to remember what the Lord tells us. And the Sermon on the Mount, actually, and excuse me, there was a sense in which I want to combine all these teachings of Jesus together and show Jesus has told us all these things plainly. But Jesus tells us to come unto Him, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Anybody here not feel that way? Anybody here not got any problems in life? Well, if you're below the age of 5, maybe. Anybody here heavy laden? Yeah. Jesus says, come to me. You bring your dry bones to me, I'll give you rest. You take my yoke upon you. You learn from me. Here's that spirituality again. Jesus says, I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why? He'll take my dry bones and He'll give life to them. He'll give me rest. He'll give me peace. Materialism overwhelms us a lot. We need to remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. So often the reason that we have dry bones is because we've lived on dry bones. We've created those dry bones. We need to get our heart right. We need to have a heart transplant. We need to change our heart and our view and realize that it's not about the here and now. It is not about the stuff down here. It's all about the things that we're going to do with God and the glory. It's not about our possessions. It's not about all our stuff here. We need to have a mind change. The passions of the flesh are pressing down hard upon us. And they come at an awful cost. But we need to remember what God said. And this is an absolute. This is not a suggestion. This is an absolute. That when we face the passions of life, we need to remember that there is no temptation, underline that has overtaken me except such as common to everybody on the face of this earth. But God is faithful, and He will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I am able. You think that's not possible? Go find some dry bones. He can do that. God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted, but with the temptation, He will make a way of escape that we can bear it. Why? The reason that we sin is because God offers us the option and we don't take it. We think it can't be done. God said, yes, it can. God's door has always got possible written on it. It can be overdone, overwhelmed. And then finally, of course, just in our relationships of life, remember what we are as people of God. We need to let, you see, that's an option. We need to let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in me richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, as we have sung today, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let the peace, let the word, and whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. It'll change your life. It'll change everything. Why? Because my life is not to be filled with dry bones. It is to be filled with the possibilities of God of bringing life to all of these things, because His power is that great. What is faith? Faith is dead to doubts, dumb to discouragements, blind to impossibilities, knows nothing but success. Faith lifts its hand up through the threatening clouds, lays hold of Him who has all power in heaven on earth. Faith makes the uplook good, the outlook bright, the inlook favorable, and the future glorious. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He took a valley of dry bones and fleshed every one of them out and put life in it. And folks, if He can do that, there ain't nothing He can't do in my life if I will let Him. If I will just let Him. We conclude with Jesus' statement in Matthew 21. I don't think we do this passage service. All we read it and think, yeah, well, you know, that's not going to happen. Jesus answered and said to them, "Certainly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, it'll be done." Jesus was going up to Jerusalem not long before He was to be killed, and He was hungry. Looked over and saw a fig tree. It was out of season, but it looked like it had fruit on it. This is kind of the humanity and divinity of Jesus. So He saw that fig tree over there, and He went over to it to see if it had any figs. And it didn't. And He cursed it. Okay. They came back the next day. The disciples saw the fig tree, dead as a hammer. And they said, "Lord, how'd that happen?" Isn't that incredible? I mean, he cursed that tree. And what He is trying to tell these disciples is, let me tell you, if you have faith, even like a little mustard seed, and you don't doubt, you can say to this mountain, "Be removed from here, be cast into the sea." And I know what you're thinking. We don't have any mountains in Florida. No. I know what we're thinking. We really, really can't do that. I mean, I can stand on Mount Everest and say, "Okay, you'll be moved," and it's not going anywhere. But you know what we've done? We have limited the power of God. I don't think that necessarily Jesus wants us to go around and do a geological resurfacing of the earth. And I'm going to tell you, to have the faith enough to move a mountain is a faith enough to get anything done in my life. And what he is trying to tell us is that there's a lot of mountains in my life. And the only thing I need to do is to trust God. And when he says, Kent, do you think these dry bones can live? And you can say, yes. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. We need to move those mountains. We need to change our lives. We need to be reassured by the Word of God that there is nothing that I cannot do. There is nothing that I cannot accomplish by the power of God. That's the truth. Because he made a valley of dry bones come to life. I don't know what your life is like. Well, whatever it is, you need to let God work in your life. You need to let Jesus' word dwell in you. You need to let the power of the Holy Spirit infuse himself into our lives that we will change our lives for the glory of God. You can do that this morning. If you're not a Christian, you're dead. You're just as dead as a valley of dry bones. God sent his Son to give you life. It is possible because God made it possible through his Son. But my brethren, we can turn the world upside down if we wanted to. Let's live the valley of dry bones in our life. Let's stand as we sing.